That's not why we're preaching on giving. We're preaching on giving to show you that what comes out of a person comes out of his heart, his or her heart, and we want to encourage you to make sure that your heart is in the right place with Almighty God all the time. And so we've been looking at passages that pertain to giving, and we were in Acts chapter 2, Acts 2:42, and so we talked about how this new Jerusalem church, who new believers of Gentiles and Jews came to faith through the preaching of the gospel. And here we find that in Acts 2:42 that this new Jerusalem church gave of themselves attention to the apostles' teaching, Vivian, which is the truth. Then we notice they gave attention to fellowship, which is the tie that binds people together, meaningful relationships. And then last week we talked about they gave attention to the Lord's table, all right, the breaking of bread, which is to communion, the Lord's table. And today we're going to look at prayer, because this New Testament church gave and devoted themselves to corporate prayer, which is the throne. And what we see happen in the text is that this church that comprised of various individuals from various ethnic background became a large church and grew. And in these four things, nothing was said about worship. There was no complaining about the drums being too loud or not loud enough. They just gave attention to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the tie. They gave attention to the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's table, and to prayer, and the church grew. I want to encourage you today to look at what this New Testament church did and encourage you to put into practice the example that they have set for us today. So pastor's going to be preaching on prayer, and half of you have already gone to sleep. Touch your neighbor and tell him wake up. Oh, good. Isn't it amazing? You can have time to do just about everything else, and the minute you decide, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, the spirit of sleep is upon you like yesterday. I mean, you are in la-la land, you know? There is a reason for that. Number one, tiredness could be a part of it, but I believe that the enemy knows the power that you and I have when we spend time in prayer. So if he can distract our minds and get us feeling all weary and tired, now when it's time to pray, you see, we will have no power, because if we don't spend time with the Lord, how can we expect to hear from the Lord and to be directed and guided by the Lord? So my purpose today is not to condemn you, not to criticize you, but simply to encourage you as a congregation to pray. Now, Sister Elsie, you've been around from the time the church started. And my desire for New Hope always was that this congregation would become a praying church. And we have struggled up until this time, but I pray that one day, Sister Eleanor, that before my eyes are closed, that this congregation will come together, whether it's a Sunday morning or a Tuesday night or a Saturday, and we will come together as a body and just really cry out to God, not because of some illness or some need, but just to worship Him just because He is, and just come and worship Him and spend some time together as a congregation. That would be my desire. If there's anything I could ask you to do for me, would be one Tuesday night, surprise me. Everybody show up, and let's just pray, all right, for 1 hour. That's it, 7:10 to 8:10. Give some of those that are late an extra 10 minutes. 7:10 to 8:10, and just surprise me, and let's just come and talk to the Lord. But when we look at the New Jerusalem Church, they gave attention to four things and their congregation group. Today, we're trying all kinds of other things, and the one thing that I think we should really spend time doing is the thing that we do the least of as a church body, and that is pray. We cannot do God's work, whatever it is, without God's power. You will not have God's power unless you spend time with God. And so this morning I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you that this aspect of corporate prayer is very, very important to us, and we want to encourage you now. Now, I've noticed that some Sunday mornings, we have people who would come to church and they would stay in the foyer instead of coming in to corporate prayer. Now, I understand that you may not feel right, probably because of what you did on Saturday night or where you've been. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe a little guilt, a little conviction. I don't know. But I'm saying to you that even if you can't pray, at least come and sit in the environment of prayer. At least some blessings will get you. You know, rather than getting no blessing, get some blessing. So keep coming early and come at 10:30 and come into the sanctuary. And even if you can't pray, just sit in the presence of those that are praying and something will get you. My encouragement to you. Tuesday nights, time set aside for corporate prayer. And I bless those who come at 10:30 on Sunday and those who come at 7 on Tuesday to pray. I thank you for your faithfulness. There's a few of us. Don't give up. Keep going. But I would love to invite all of you to come and pray. Do you know something, my friends? When this church was under pressure to find buildings and locations, guess what? We had no issues praying. Man, we used to come out and pray. We'd be at a school, at the office on 50th Street. Sometimes that room would be so full. We had people standing outside. You remember that, Eleanor? Man, we didn't have an issue praying. But the minute we got the building and everything is settled, now, you know, prayers drop to, well, maybe some other time or someone else would do it. New Hope, let's change that. I want to encourage you today. Let's change that. Let's continue to come and gather and not only pray when we have a need. To me, that's using God like a spare tire. You know, we pull him out when we need him, but when we don't need him, we put him back in until we have another need and we pull him back out. I want when you go to God, you don't have to introduce yourself. You should say, well, Lord, this is your son, Sion. You know me. We talked this morning. You can say, yeah, what do you want? You don't have to say, well, Lord, you know, I got a list of sins I got to deal with before I can, you know. No, you don't have to introduce yourself. You should go to the throne. Lord, this is Elva. I need a miracle. I got a situation that earth can solve, but I need you to do something for me today and watch God turn around and bless you and provide the miracle. So this is my encouragement for us as we dig into the text. It's still important for us to come and pray. Now listen, let me say some things before we get into the text. When you come to prayer meeting, you got all kinds of people with all kinds of background, and a lot of things happen at prayer meeting. Some weird stuff could happen at prayer meeting. All right? I'm just letting you know. But don't let the stuff that's happened bug you. You come to pray, so pray. All right? And if you don't like what's going on in the sanctuary, go in the nursery, go in the youth room. But let's pray together. Now, especially prayer meetings at church, a lot of information gets gossip as prayer. Okay? Well, Lord, you know, Sister Jane got caught with Brother Joe last night, and we're just asking you to help them tonight, Lord, because they need your help. I've been around for a while. I've seen some things. I'm just saying to you, you have to be careful. All right? You're not here to... I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. I've been doing this for a few years myself. I've seen some things, you know, so I know. All right? Now, at prayer meetings, corporately, when we look in the text in a minute, we see that the entire church devoted themselves to prayer. Now, we live in an age where people would come to prayer meeting and some of them will not pray. Now, forgive me for saying this, but I'm a type A personality and I can't figure out why you would leave your house, come to the church, and not say anything. I need help with that. So if you can help me afterwards, I would avail myself to your help. But I'm thinking that if I'm going to leave my house in the middle of minus 20 and come here to pray, I want to say something to the Lord. That gas has to come for something. I want to say something to the Lord. So I'm encouraging you that regardless of whether you're a type A personality or a type B personality, when you come to the house of the Lord, I want to encourage you to say something. If all you can say is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And you may have to repeat it over and over again, but if that's all that you can say, then say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because whether you know it or not, God has been good to you. And he deserves to be thanked and to be praised and to be worshipped. So New Hope, on Tuesday, I'm expecting to see some of you out. Now listen, the enemy knows that prayer is the avenue by which God has provided for you and I to make contact with the throne room. So if he wants to keep you in a place where you cannot hear from God, has no sense of purpose and direction, he's going to start construction on heaven's highway so you can't get through. All right? And so you've got to be careful that you don't allow circumstances in life to stop you from doing what God has called you and require of us to do as a church body. If we're going to become an army, we must become a family first. And we become a family as we begin to pray together and study God's word together and fellowship together and just be in the spirit of God together. Right, Caleb? He's on the floor having a really good time. Awesome. All right. So as we look at our text, we notice in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and the text tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to the table or the throne of prayer. And we notice that these early church followers model some things for us today that I would hope we would implement in our lives and enable our congregation to become more successful than it is in the Lord's eyes, not in man's eyes. And so to this New Jerusalem church, prayer was the weapon by which they used to conquer fear. Prayer for them was the highway to victory. To them, prayer was a connecting link between what is seen and what is unseen. To them, prayer was the connecting link of communication between heaven and earth. To them, prayer was the experience that produced transformation from living on a secular level to living on a spiritual level. To them, prayer was a continuous companionship with a living God, not just using God at a time or in times of need and then putting him aside when things seem to go well. If this New Jerusalem church could model for us this example of spiritual growth and effective service for God and unity amongst the believers, can you see why the church grew and why the enemy would want to stop this kind of thing from happening? Because the enemy knows once we are equipped and empowered and we become one, we will be a force to reckon with. And so there's always this deceitful way of trying to keep God's people busy and too tired to spend time in prayer. So my friends, I want to say to you this morning that if we as a church family, if we are going to fulfill our vision, which is to uphold and strengthen families as God's biblical ideal while loving and embracing non-traditional families and singles, if we are going to fulfill the goals that God has given to us, if we are going to create that oasis of hope and love, if we are going to take New Hope to the community, if we're going to fulfill our four purposes of evangelizing and exaltation and edification and equipping the saints to do the work of service, then corporate prayer must be an integral part of what we do here at the church. New Hope prayer for us must be the weapon by which we conquer fear. Prayer for us must be the highway to victory. Prayer must be the connecting link for us between what is seen and what is unseen. Prayer must be the connecting link of communication between heaven and earth for us here at New Hope Christian Assembly. Excuse me. And so we find that prayer in the church must be continuous on many levels. We have provided for you Tuesday night prayer, Sunday morning pre-service prayer. There is a ladies' prayer meeting for spouses and husbands and men. That's a good one to go to and pray for, because us guys, we need all the help we can get. And the ladies say, all right. And we also know that Miss Cheryl, on the last Saturday of the month, provides an opportunity for fasting and prayer. Every revival that is recorded in history came because men and women chose to fast and pray, and God moved. Every revival that we've experienced, everyone. There's not one recorded revival that started because the worship band played every note on key and had good voices. It started because people saturated themselves in prayer and waited on God, and God moved. So as we look at our text today, we have to ask ourselves, well, here's a new group of Jews and Gentiles converting to Christianity. And of course, the apostles are their teachers. And so you have to ask yourself, well, why would this small church devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and breaking of bread, and to communion, and to prayer? Of course, the apostles taught the church how to pray. The apostles learned prayer from Jesus. And so I'm just going to share with you some passages of scripture of what Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And so they, the disciples, learned this habit or principle of prayer from Jesus. And so that's our foundation. Any prayer that is not standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ ought not to be prayed. And so Jesus taught his disciples to love their enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you think there was some persecution going on in the church in Jerusalem? You thought some folks had some enemies over there? So, New Hope, the thing to do is not to pass your enemies in the hallway as you're going down the stairs, but pray for them. He taught them when to pray, that when they pray, to go into the inner room, close the door, and to pray to our Heavenly Father. Matthew 6:6. He taught his disciples not to use meaningless reputation. Matthew 6:7. Now, you might be gifted with the gift of eloquence, and you ought to use it not to show off, but to build up. He taught them how to pray. Matthew 6:9. Our Father. And so if God is your Father, and He is my Father, and He is the black man's Father, and the white man's Father, and the Chinese man's Father, and if He's all of our fathers, then how can we disrespect each other as brother and sister and expect Daddy to bless us? He taught them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. See, Jesus is kind of tricky, because if the disciples are praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, Jesus is hoping that in their prayer, they may realize, hey, I'm asking God to do something that maybe I should be doing. And He's not going to send workers into the harvest field by dropping them out of heaven. He's not going to do supernaturally those things that can be done by human means. And so if I'm available, He's going to use me. He's not going to drop an angel to go do it, because I'm here. Even though He can do that, and He has the power and the ability to do that. So sometimes you have to understand that God will not do supernaturally those things that can be done by human means. So if you're looking for a job, you have to go and drop off your resume and just don't expect an employer to come banging on your door at 6 in the morning asking you if you're looking for work. It sounds simple, but there are many individuals with many needs that are expecting God to drop it out of the sky when there are things that they can do that they choose not to do. Jesus modeled what He taught by going up into the mountain to pray, Matthew 14:23. Folks, can I tell you something? There is a reason why Jesus got up in the morning, Gina, and went up into the mountain to pray, because I find that if you miss your prayer time in the morning, your day just goes by so fast and you get nothing accomplished. And sometimes I say, Lord, I'll do it later on when I get to the office. And I get to the office and the phone rings. The next thing I know, it's 10 o'clock at night. I haven't done it. But when you can get up early enough and you can spend some time with the Lord and start your day that way, by 10 o'clock, work seems to be done. And you're thinking, man, it's only 10 o'clock and I've got all of this accomplished. But when it doesn't take place that way, we find that the day is over and we've got very little accomplished. So Jesus modeled this aspect of getting up early in the morning and praying and saturating ourselves in prayer with the Father. Jesus laid hands on children and prayed for them, and so he modeled this for his disciples, Matthew 19:13. And so this is where we get our idea of laying hands on people and praying for them. He taught them to watch and to pray, Luke 1:1, watch and to pray. He prayed to his Father to let the will of the Father be done in his life, not his will, but the Father's will. Matthew 26:42. And so I want to say to you, my friends, that as you live this Christian life, you ought to be able to pray and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want that to be accomplished in my life. I might not like it, but because you are in control of everything that I do and say, and you're in control of my life, I would willingly surrender to you. And there are many today who want to have their situation changed, but for some reason, God has not changed it yet. But keep holding on to God's unchanging hands and trust him, because you never know what he's preparing you for. And you don't want to miss the lesson, because every time you miss the lesson, you end up starting over again, going back to square one until you can get the lesson. So until you learn it properly, you don't seem to graduate to the next level. So learn the lesson, whatever it is that he's trying to teach you. And so, my friends, we notice that not only did Jesus taught them to pray, and they learned this habit from Jesus, but the text tells us that they waited in prayer. And if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. How many of you know that waiting is hard work? Waiting is hard work. It drains the life out of you sometimes, because you're trying to do what the Lord tells you to do, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Joseph, you know, when we get our skits and drama going, Chris and Matt and Brian, you guys can all do some dramas for us. That'd be great. But can you imagine? Jesus told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit came. You know the story. How many of them were in the upper room? How many of them were in the upper room waiting? 120, right? In the upper room. And so we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. The disciples were all there. Can you imagine what the environment was like in that upper room? Because Jesus had just died and resurrected, and there were still some hard feelings. I mean, Mary was there, his mother, and Peter denied him. Like, what do you say to Peter? Like, Thomas was there, and he was thinking, like, you know, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. Like, you know, what do you say? What do you say to Thomas? And I'm sure that upper room wasn't all hallelujah, glory, glory. I thought they had some issues to work out and settle some issues amongst themselves. But they waited, and they waited, and they came to a place of unity. And the Holy Spirit came when they became unified and fell upon all of them. Because how many of you know that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in disunity? If there's disunity, I can guarantee you $100 the Holy Spirit will not show up in disunity. So when we come together in a unified heart, mind, soul, body, thinking, that's when we begin to see what the Holy Spirit does. And so they waited. And they waited, and this is difficult for us because we kneel down to pray, and 5 minutes is long enough. The minute we kneel down and it gets quiet, somebody wants to say something. Nobody wants to, you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. So you stay quiet for 5 minutes, and this is uncomfortable, right? Because we live in an environment where we got the car stereo going, the TV going, the radio's going. And we want everything right now. We have a very, I call it a hurry-up society. give it to me now real quick. I don't want to wait for nothing. This kind of a drive-through mentality. But for the church, Brother Morgan, that can't be, because God says, you got to wait. You got to wait. You got to be patient. And that's hard work, because it's in there you discover what you're really made out of. Can you endure to the end? And so they waited. But also they believed. They believed enough to have waited. And, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. Brian and the Graves boys, I did have permission from Sandra to tell this story. So, and I promise you that I will not say anything embarrassing, okay? I'll give you that one. I promise you. They're nervous now, right? So in this text that we're talking, Brother Joseph, we notice that they waited on Jesus, and they waited. And they obviously, Elva, they believed that the Holy Spirit was going to come, right? They believed, so they waited. Sometimes when we've been praying for something for a long time and it happens, it really shows us what we're made of. Because like in the book of Acts, when Peter was in prison, they were waiting and they were praying at Mary's house. Peter got released. You know the story. He came to the door and Rhoda opened the door and says, Peter's at the door. And she closed it back and went inside and told him. And the people that were praying for Peter said that this is not the case. All right? So we could laugh at Peter because he's not here with us today, and it's easy to laugh at Peter. But something happened to me, and I'll tell you this. I was we've been advertising for children's ministry leaders. Miss Cheryl had moved up after 6.5 years of serving our children. Thank you, Miss Cheryl. And so we've been advertising. I went to the Bible College, Vivian. Nobody wants to take the position. Those who wanted full-time work. We couldn't afford full-time work. And so we're praying, and I'm thinking, I was getting discouraged, but I try not to let my emotions show through, because if I look discouraged, then Cheryl's going to get discouraged, and I'll be, so I don't want to be infecting people with discouragement, so I try to hide it, but sometimes I can't. And so Vivian, we're waiting, and it's been a while, right? Looking for children's ministry leaders, and we understand when parents come to the church, if there's nothing really going on for the kids, then it's not a good sign that they don't want to stay, Raquel, right? And I thank you for serving in children's church, and you guys have been doing a fantastic job. But long story short, I got this resume. Came one night, and I looked at it, and I read it, and I thought, man, she is good. She probably wants $70,000 right away. I'm thinking, she probably wants $70,000 a job, $70,000 a year to do this work. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what do you do, Sian? Do you go with the interview, or do you just, you know, look at the resume and say, no, you're too overqualified for us. So anyway, went ahead, and Sandra and I chatted, and Brian came in, and Sandra, and we met, and we talked. But after they met in my office, I decided, well, I'm going to, you know, it was a really good conversation. It felt really good. Brian, her husband, he grew up in a small church, so his dad was a pastor, so, you know, he kind of understood the dynamics of small church, and I'm feeling good about all of those things. But I'm thinking to myself, after the conversation, Sandra wants to do children's ministries. Brian and the boys are musically inclined, as you've experienced. And of course, we've been praying also for musicians. So I start in my spirit now, my flesh, I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with these guys? There's got to be something wrong with these guys. Nobody's that good. So, you know, I'm thinking, so on top of it, she says, well, Pastor, we're going to come in and, you know, we don't want any money. We'll just do children's ministries. I'm thinking, and so here's Brian is bringing his wife, himself, his four boys. They want to help do this for free. I'm thinking, there's got to be something wrong with these people. There's something wrong with you. That is not normal behavior in the church. So here I am going through all my references. I'm calling everybody I can find. Hey, what do you think about the Grays, man? Like, you know, do my ref. And I got nothing but niceness to say about these guys. I can't. There's nothing derogatory. There's no problems. I spoke to the former pastor, and he's like grieving because he's so wanting them back there. And I'm thinking, okay, all right. So I was like Rhoda at the door. And so I'm wrestling with this, and this was in April, and so I go away to a conference, April 29th to about May 4th, and I have some pastor friends, you know, and so of course we go out for dinner, and I'm talking to Ron. I'm saying, Ron, you know, I got this family, man, and it's a tremendous blessing, but I'm nervous. I don't know what to do. And so his wife looks at me and says, well, you can send them to our church if you don't want them. I don't want to do that either. So we're having pizza at BP's, and I said to them, I feel like Rhoda at the door because the prayer's been answered and I can't believe it. So we have pizza and we go back to the conference, and the speaker gets up and he goes to Acts and he's preaching on Peter and Rhoda at the door at the night. So my friends that I was having pizza with looked at me and goes, duh. So what I was struggling with is sometimes when something seems too good to be true, we've always said that it isn't. And in the secular sense, that is true, right? Debbie and I, a couple years ago, pulled some investments up at our house because we had a guy who was talking the Bible, Stefan. He was talking about this investment that was good and we were going to get 30% back. And I'm thinking, man, 30%, I could see the 30%, but I didn't see the risk. And so we thought, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to try it. And he was talking Jesus and God and Bible and all that stuff. And you should know, once I start talking about Jesus right away, that should be like key number one, okay? Run! So we pulled some equity out of the house because we're thinking, man, we can get a good return. We can do this. We can repair the house. We can do all kinds of little things we wanted to do. And they were going to send us a monthly income, and then when the investment matured, we're going to get a 6% payout on top of the 30% we've been getting. And I'm thinking, this is even better. I'm excited, man. Of course, 2 months, we got the first 2 months payments, and then after that, it went south and lost everything. And in the natural sense, if it seems too good to be true, it is. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it seems too good to be true, it isn't too good to be true because God does not give us junk. So when it comes to the kingdom of God, if it seems too good to be true, it isn't because God does not give us junk. So whatever you've been waiting on, when it shows up, if you've been praying for it, don't be like me and Rhoda, but accept what God has given to you and welcome it with open arms and utilize it. God really had to do a work on my heart, Vivian, because I've been preaching for 14 years. I've been preaching from this passage for many years, telling you what to do. Here, I'm getting blessed, and I'm thinking, there's something wrong here. So be careful. Don't make my mistake. Number two, we notice that prayer was a regular habit of the early believers. Acts 1:14 tells us they believed, and they practice united prayer. Corporate prayer, they continually devoted themselves to prayer. New Hope, I want to encourage you. Let's pray together. Again, I have one request for you. Whether God moves me into heaven through death or someplace else, before I conclude New Hope, whenever that is, 100 years from now, I would love to see us come together one night and just pray like we've never prayed before. If you can do anything for me, as a pastor, I don't know any pastor who doesn't want to see his congregation pray together. And so my heart's desire would be, let's come together and just pray. Let's pray hard one night and just see what God will do. I believe it's going to change you and it's going to change me and it will change us. This group prayed together, and the Bible says that the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. They believed and practiced private prayer. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Peter went on the rooftop to pray. They believed and they practiced public prayer. Peter and John were going to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, and they ran into a man who was crippled, and they said to him, "Silver and gold I have not, but such that I have, I give unto you. Get up and walk." Now, my friends, they weren't taking power. They weren't going to the church to get power. They were taking the power into the church with them. And I want to encourage you, every time you come into the church, I understand it can't happen all the time, but every time you come to the church, bring something with you. Bring something with you. Some of us, we say, oh, man, the worship is dead today. Well, what did you add to it? I mean, you've been sitting in deep freeze for seven days, and then you come on Sunday morning at 10:30, and you want to feel like you've been on the mountaintop with Jesus. That doesn't work, my friends. So I want to encourage you, listen to some form of preaching or teaching, worship during the course of the week, so that when you come on Sunday, what we give you is not the only food that you're being served. All right? So I listen to T.D. Jakes. I love Jakes. I love Bishop Hillard. I love some, and Noel Jones. I listen to some of these guys. I got my preachers I listen to. I got my music I listen to. Because who feeds the preacher? By the way, I'm the only preacher that I like. I disagree with all the other guys and just about everything they say. But me, I'm good. You know I'm teasing you. You know I'm teasing you. Okay? Number three. Prayer was appropriate for all occasions. Prayer was appropriate for all occasions. They offered prayer day by day for the blessings of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. They prayed for the courage to speak for the Lord when they were in difficult situations. Acts chapter 2, verses 36. God will give you the words to say if only you are available. So whether it's a corporate prayer meeting or some situation, God will give you the words to say if you are in Him. Emergencies drove them into the presence of God. Emergencies faced in prayer introduced them to an exciting experience with God. Crisis of life should be met today with an attitude of prayer. And so, New Hope, I want to just encourage you and challenge you that this aspect of corporate prayer for our assembly has to be priority and it has to be forefront based on the example that we have seen in the text. They prayed for those who ministered to the unfortunate. They prayed for those who were in prison. They prayed for those whom God led to serve in different places. And so I want to encourage you, New Hope, that there's so many things we could pray about. There should never be a time in a prayer meeting where we're silent because we run out of things to pray for. There's always somebody to pray for. There's always a need to pray for. There is always some crisis taking place in the church. You may not always know about it, that you could pray for. And we want to pray for each other and encourage each other. And so I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging you. I know you're busy. I know you got lots going on your plate. My life is busy. Yours is busy. But let's see if we can carve out some time. And I'm asking you to give, not financially, but give a little bit of your time to corporate prayer for the church. When we began to pray in a spirit of unity and togetherness, you watch and see what God will do with this local assembly. I know people say to me, Pastor, but it's not just a New Hope thing. You know, the larger churches, they only have 5 or 6 people going. Not because it's not happening elsewhere means that it's right. We do what's biblical, not what is right. We do what is biblical, okay, not what everyone else thinks it's right or wrong. So maybe there's only 5 persons attending the church next door. That doesn't mean that only 5 should attend. We do what's biblical. Let's come together. Let's pray. As long as it's biblical, let's do it. Let's pray together. Let's stand on God's word, and let's see what God is going to do in our midst as we continue to trust Him and move forward in His name. So New Hope, I'm wondering today, it would be a shame for me to speak on corporate prayer and to end the service without corporate prayer. So why don't you stand? Excuse my allergies and my runny nose. Amen. So it's 12:04. I got till 12:30. So you got 26 minutes of corporate prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. But can we take a few minutes as we bring our service to a close? It doesn't have to be long. 2, 3, 4, whatever. Let's just lift our voices and just give God thanks for who He is as a church body. Corporately, can we just lift our voices to heaven and just begin to thank God for who He is? Can we lift our voices to heaven? If you feel inclined to cry out to Him, cry out to Him. Just thank Him for who He is. Just thank Him for who He is. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. We worship You, God. Use your prayer language if you've got one. Glory to Your name, Lord. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Pretend you're the football game or the hockey game. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You are exalted, Almighty God. In this place, You are welcome, mighty God. In this place, we join our voices together, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. You are worthy. You are exalted. Beside You, there is none other, Lord God. Jesus. Glory to Your name, Lord. Glory to Your name. Praise Your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus.